Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. Here's your host, JJ Regan.
Hey, everybody, and welcome into another edition of NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face-Off podcast. I'm your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. With me today, he is the Shen Brothers to my Tom Wilson. He is the Capitals insider, Tarik El-Bashir. Tarik?
Combined salaries for the Shen Brothers, somewhere in the range of $7 million. I'll take it.
Hey, these fists are all the moneymakers I need, Tarik. And if we're about to drop the gloves, that means we need a ref to help keep the peace. So we have Rob Carlin here today.
I'm the ref. That's all I get is the ref. First off, let me just give everyone listening a behind the scenes here. We started the podcast and had to restart it. And Tarik actually did, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes worth of research to come up with their contract numbers just for the comeback, because you had already played your hand in our first
Once he found out the intro, he decided to do some research for the comeback. Anyway, what we will talk about today, we're going to talk about why this team looks so much different whenever Philip Grubauer is between the pipes. We're going to talk about how the team can get Nicholas Backstrom going offensively, and we are going to open up the mailbag. But first, Tarik, how was your trip to Buffalo?
It was abbreviated. I was delayed leaving DCA, so I got there with no time to spare. I had to rush to the arena to interview Evgeny Kuznetsov, who was literally waiting for me pretty much when I got there and was kind of annoyed in a joking manner. But it was about 16 hours. I didn't even get to the anchor bar. I didn't get any wings. I ate McDonald's and Taco Bell. Those were my two meals in Buffalo.
So it was a normal day for you then?
Yeah, pretty much.
So that's a bit disappointing trip then?
You know what? I always liked that building. You know, it was disappointing from the fact that I thought the Capitals were finally going to show up with a good performance in the back half of a back-to-back, and they didn't. They fell on their face and let down Grubauer again. But, you know, overall, you know, I like getting down the road, seeing other buildings, and I wish I'd had more time to kind of interact with fans, which is something we've been doing a little bit, but I just didn't have the time this time, but it's all right.
Let's get to some actual hockey. Tuesday was a frustrating loss for Philip Grubauer, who has yet to record a win this season. I talked to Isabel Kershudian of the Washington Post about his post-game reaction. I'm here with Isabel Kershudian of the Washington Post, who was there in Buffalo to talk to Philip Grubauer after what was a frustrating loss. Izzy, how striking was it to hear those comments from Grubauer, considering how even-keeled he always is after games?
Yeah, he was still, like, pretty even-keeled. I don't know, you could tell, like, he was not happy when he, like, walked up to the scrum. He had been, like, drinking some Gatorade, kind of puts it down kind of hard onto the stall, the locker stall, and yeah, even when he answers the question, am I allowed to curse in this podcast? Well, so even, like, he just says it in, like, kind of a normal voice, you know, like, I'm sick of losing. And it was like, he kind of, like, said so, like, you know, straightforward, like, that for a second I thought, like, did I hear that right? Did he say something else? I was like, no, it's definitely what he said. Because I could see, like, the faces on everyone else, and Tark's, like, over there freaking out and thinking, like, was that live? Probably. But, yeah, I mean, he only took, like, we only asked him really, like, 3 questions. We could tell he was kind of frustrated. And I don't think he was ripping his teammates. I think it was just him knowing that he's playing pretty well in these games and he's just not getting the results. And so as a goaltender, you're like, well, what else can I do? And that's basically pitch a shutout, which is a lot to ask. I mean, those goals aren't his fault. I didn't think, I mean, the first one's like a turnover behind the goal line. And then the second one, it's an end-to-end goal where, you know, a bunch of things go wrong before that shot ever gets to him. So yeah, and then in Calgary he made like 36 saves. So I understand why he was, you know, right after why that came out like that, but I thought it was great. Like, I wish more players were that raw and honest in the moment.
You touched on it. He is 0-4-1 in his five starts this season, but he hasn't played poorly. So what is it about the Caps that, why do they seem to play differently with Grubauer in net?
Yeah, I think it's more of a back-to-back thing, and he's just the guy back there. I think if Holtby was starting all those games, like, the result would be the same, honestly. And that's, like, a credit to Grubauer. I don't think it's his play that's been even close to the reason they've lost these games. But, you know, they just, even in general, they aren't playing that much with the puck. They've been in their own end a lot. And when you do that on a back-to-back and you're tired, it just creates a bigger problem. Like, you don't have the energy. You playing in your own end is kind of exhausting, and then you don't really have the energy to get up the ice. And, you know, that leads to, like, you taking some tired, like, lazy penalties, and then you're on the penalty kill, and those are hard minutes too, and those guys are also tired. It would help them if they scored kind of early in one of these games and could kind of settle into a better rhythm, I think. But they haven't played with the lead in a single one of these back-to-back games, and that's part of it.
Isabel Khrushchyan, thanks for hopping on.
Thanks for having me.
Phil Grubauer is now 0-4-1 in five starts this season, but no one watching would put the blame for any of those losses on his shoulders. Rob, what have you been seeing every time Grubauer gets the start?
Well, a team that's tired, a team that's on the back half of a back-to-back that's not as deep as it once was. Look, he was frustrated, and that reaction he had that Isabel tweeted out, the question was from Mike Vogel, who works for the Caps, who's been around the team forever. So it's not like it was from a guy who he didn't know. And it was, you know, a typical worded, it was the first question in the interview. And you could see as Vogel was talking, Grubauer was already just like, you know, and it was like he just, that was his point was, I'm sick of blank and losing.
Well, it actually started the night before. I saw him after the game Monday night at Verizon Center, or at Cap One, walking out. And you could see he was already frustrated because he knew he was going to be getting the back half of another game. And, of course, Monday's game had gone to overtime where some of the top guys played, 4 minutes of three-on-three hockey. And he already knew that, you know, he was in a bad situation. So, look, the Caps don't really have great options right now. They're in a situation where they have to make up points. So you can understand what Barry Trotz is trying to do here. Barry wants to rack up points in the games that are gettable, and it's that's the front half of the back-to-back. And unfortunately, the byproduct is Grubby getting tired legs, getting situations where the Sabres are sitting there waiting for him. And you can understand the frustration, but at the same time, it's what you signed up for. I mean, that's what you are as a backup until you get your break to become a frontline guy. And I think he will get that break at some point. It probably won't be here, but it's probably going to happen at some point in the near future. But for right now, you can understand his frustration, but I don't know how you fix that other than put Grubby on the front end and then make Holtby, face the firing squad on the back half, but then you might be giving up points because Braden is the better of the two goalies. So I don't know.
And they've only been giving him a goal a game, basically. I mean, that's
five goals in his last four starts, and they've all been back to back.
Right. 1.6 goals per game when he is in the net.
Right. So it's not a lot of run support. You can't blame a lot of it. You have to throw the Philadelphia game out.
Yes.
Unfortunately for his stats. You can, but you have to throw that out because that was just terrible all the way around, and it was one of those games that got away from them. But other than that, he's been really good, and the team's given him absolutely no run support. And I know after the game the other night, I found this surprising, and I didn't actually hear about this until today because, you know, we're on the set and don't hear the post-game reaction, all of it, and didn't hear Trotz. But I guess he told the media that night on the Pouliot goal that won it, that's a save that we should have had from Grubauer.
Well,
and it kind of surprised me that he would go there with the way that Grubauer's played, where the bottom line is, if you're only going to get – that could have been Braden Holtby in net. If you're only going to get one goal, it's hard to win.
Well, I was standing right there, and my read of that was not necessarily throwing Grubauer under the bus. That was his way of saying – I didn't feel that as a criticism. My eyebrow did go up a little bit, but I think he was saying, you know, that's where a goaltender who makes a grade A save can change the way a game's going. But I'm sure after he watched it again on replay, Vrana got toe dragged, Orpik basically just screened his own goalie. The puck went through his leg. I mean, that was a very difficult stop, but maybe that's a one that, that's one that, you know, Grubauer, when he's at his best or hopefully at his best, makes that stop.
But again, I didn't necessarily see it as, oh, he's throwing Grubauer under the bus. My point was he got one goal again. So,
yeah,
you know, he would have to be perfect. It, whether or not it
as
was
– Thomas Bokun once famously said, you can't win if you don't score.
There you go. And I think that's doesn't matter who's in goal for the Caps at that point. If you're only going to get one goal consistently, it's virtually impossible to rack up wins.
You mentioned the stats. The stats are not good, an .886 save percentage. But if you take out the Philadelphia game, Grubauer has a .914 save percentage, which is not bad. That's a good save percentage.
At this stage of the season, you know, the top guys are a little higher than that. But, you know, I would say last year when he was around 925, what was somewhere in that range is when he's at his best. And I thought last year he was the best backup in the league. But unfortunately, you know what you sound like right now? You sound like Jay Gruden. Remember back in the day he would go, well, if you subtract the 80-yard bomb we gave up for a touchdown, we actually did really well on defense. You can't throw out that game, unfortunately, for Grubauer. And you know what? Were the guys in front of him any good? No. But, you know, I think that was the weakest of his five starts. I think he kind of contributed to a certain extent to his own misery in that game. But I will say, in the last four, especially that Calgary game, and Trotz just said this a few minutes ago, Grubauer stole that game for the Caps. They just didn't do anything with it. They only got one goal.
Last thing on Grubauer. We mentioned, hey, he's always going to get those tough assignments. So it's going to be hard for him to turn things around. But then again, his stats last year were really good. So what were the Caps doing last year that put Grubauer in a better position, just besides having a better roster?
They had a better team. I mean, they had a better team. They didn't lose any. You know, they didn't lose much last year. They didn't. That's a thing. I know no one wants to talk about the differences because last year doesn't matter. But if you're asking why Grubauer was probably better and why the team was probably better in front of him, the team was better on an every night basis last year because the team was just better.
He also didn't get the back half every single time. So, you know, last year, if I remember correctly, Holtby got a few of those starts.
He got a few of them.
Asked for a few of those starts. And I think had Grubauer gotten Monday's game and Holtby got Tuesday's game, I'm not sure how much different the result would have been, except for Grubby would have got his first win of the season, most likely.
And Barry Trotz said down there a few minutes ago, you know, we've let him down. You know, he hasn't played poorly. Pointed out that Calgary game, and we've let him down. And because of how well liked and respected he is in the room, he knows that the team feels bad about this. That here's a guy, like you said, Tarek, that wants to be a number one, and will probably get a shot at a number one at some point. And for the outside looking in, if you're looking at Grubauer's numbers right now, we go, well, what's wrong with Grubauer? Is he not? Maybe he's not as good. You know, it's not fair. As Barry Trotz kind of joked about something else, from 30,000 feet, it's easy to say, well, Grubauer hasn't been as good as he was last year. But there's so many different factors that go into why the numbers aren't as good. But he's been a lot better the last couple of games.
We're going to move on to Nicholas Backstrom and his struggles on offense this season right after a word from our sponsor. Nicholas Backstrom has now gone 7 games without a point, the longest stretch of his career. At practice on Thursday, Barry Trotz did not sound too concerned about it.
Back, he has done a really good job. I know there's a lot been said about not scoring or whatever. To me, it's about winning, and he's had all the tough matchups. He's still creating good offense, hasn't got the numbers. I don't think I have to tell you what I think of Nicholas Backstrom as one of the best two-way centermen in the National Hockey League, and he should be a Selke candidate every year. And I've said that. And right now, he's had tough matchups. We've been on the road, and so I can't dictate all that. So he's had some of those tougher matchups. So, and he's done a terrific job at that. And trust me, there's one player I don't have to worry a whole heck of a lot about is Nick Backstrom. Nick Backstrom brings a pretty good game every night. And I don't judge his game on, you know, goals and assists. He's probably the last player I have to worry about.
All right, well, Trotz is certainly putting a positive spin on it, and yes, Backstrom's defensive role is important, but he has to start producing at some point for this team to be successful, doesn't he?
Absolutely. He is probably, at this point, arguably, I should say, their best player. Certainly the most important two-way player on this team in terms of guys up front. I would say the one thing that Trotz can do to get him going is get him some more offensive zone starts. If he's starting every single shift that begins with a faceoff 180 feet from where he's trying to score a goal, that's a long road to hoe right there. I mean, that's difficult. I think there are some things tactically that Barry can do to get that line going. But at the same time, you know what? Nicholas is a center. And you know what centers do? They set up their wingers for goals. And right now, TJ Oshie isn't producing either. So I think one thing that would get him going as well would be TJ putting the puck in the back of the net. It's been a little while since we've heard from him. He's going to have a new winger on his left side against the Penguins, if everything holds from what we saw today, which is Chandler Stephenson is going to be skating left wing on the second line. First time he's ever been in the top six in his career. Maybe that'll add some speed to that line. You know, as good as Backstrom and Oshie are, they are not speed demons, and this league is getting faster. The Penguins are a pretty fast team. Maybe Chandler can help get that going. But I'm kind of in the same boat as Trotz right now. I'm not overly concerned. Mm-hmm. I think Backstrom is playing well. The pucks aren't going in for him right now. And unfortunately, his number one winger, Oshie, isn't helping him out by finishing off some of those sweet dishes.
All right, Rob, I know you've been calling for it. Do the Caps need to put Ovechkin and Backstrom back together?
I don't know that I've been calling for it. Maybe a little bit. I've been calling for it. But I just know it's the in case of emergency mm-hmm. box.
Ace up the sleeve.
Yeah, I mean, every coach that's ever tried panic to hit that panic button, and usually things, you know, go back to the way they were. And it was funny today because Izzy Kashidian from the Post asked Barry Trotz that. She said, have you considered putting 19-8 back together? And he kind of smirked and he just went, yeah. Yeah. Well, of course, I always think about putting 19-8, but he said he's just not there yet. Bottom line is you need Backstrom and Oshie to be producing. Mm-hmm. And they've had, look, they pretty much took Connor McDavid out of the game in Edmonton. They pretty much took John Tavares out of the game against the Islanders. And outside of a first goal in the first minute, they pretty much took Clayton Keller out of the Coyotes game. I mean, they're doing that. You just can't have your, you know, however you want to slice or dice it, your top line or your second line that's, you know, with two all-stars not producing for 7 games or 9 games or whatever it is. And Oshie's got to be better and Backstrom's got to be better. And I know Trotz said it's the last guy he's worried about is Nicholas Backstrom.
Right.
Well, that's great, but you still need goals and assists from Nicholas Backstrom. The funny thing was during practice today, at one point, you weren't standing with us, but it was a couple of standing together, and just the way they came out of a huddle and then broke off, Backstrom, Ovi, and Oshie all went into the corner together, and a couple of us were sitting at the end, and we're like, oh, is it happening? Are they doing it? Like, I don't know what that means to the other three lines, but who cares?
Right.
Like, there was, like, that split second of, like, oh, my God, this could be great. And then we were like, oh, okay, the whole team's going over there, too. But, you know, like, that's the thing. When you have three guys like that, Ovi, the best scorer of our generation, Backstrom probably the most underrated player in the game today, and TJ Oshie, who's coming off his career year. I mean, the thought of just, I mean, that's the real in case emergency.
Yeah,
put those three back together. I mean, then at that point, you're saying the hell with the other three lines. Those guys need to score 4 goals a night.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think that we're quite there yet. And again, it is moving pieces around.
And then you're also losing Backstrom as your shutdown player if you're putting him in that posture.
Yes.
So,
but you're hoping to win games 5-4 at that point.
Which is a lot of fun, except for when you're writing for a newspaper on deadline. As I learned during the Bruce Boudreau era, I think I aged about 10 years for every season I covered under Boudreau.
Ultimately, this team isn't as deep defensively, and I think that's why Trotz has been hesitant to move Ovechkin back with Backstrom. He wants Backstrom to be that shutdown guy. But that is enough out of us. Let's open up the mailbag and hear from you, fine people. First, from Jessica Hughes. She writes, thanks for the great work on the podcast. I keep hoping that JJ will someday soon introduce Tark as the Joe Beninati to his Craig Lachlan.
I'm not sure what to make of that. Joby definitely has better suits.
Well, okay.
By far.
Yes, he does. But, hey, as we saw the other day, Craig Lachlan has a mean right hook.
That was pretty funny.
And by the way, just and I said this on TV, that whole thing with Rob Ray and Locker was not staged.
No.
That was not like planned beforehand. that was not like, hey guys, it'd be funny if you did this.
Yes.
That was Rob Ray being like, you know what? I haven't kicked someone's ass in a long time. Yeah.
And we heard Craig actually lost a few buttons on his suit afterwards. So
he did.
Anyway, what do you think of taking John Carlson off the power play, at least while Matt Niskanen is on injured reserve? Carlson is already playing a ton of minutes, and it's not like he's indispensable as the setup guy. Personally, I like to see Bowie get a chance.
Bowie's not ready for that responsibility.
I would agree with that.
Ovi is very particular about who's feeding him pucks in the office. I'll pull the curtain back a little bit here. In practice, every now and again, Ovi will work on his one-timer, and Carlson will feed those pucks to him. And Ovi will take 20 or 30, and he'll go off the ice. And then Carlson will go over to where Ovi was standing and have someone feed him pucks. And if it's off by an inch, he throws his hands up and he rolls his eyes because Ovi wants his puck exactly where he wants his puck. And Ovi can be hard on teammates, and you don't want to put Madison in that situation yet. You know what? You got Carlson for one more year. Who knows what's going to happen in the future? With Niskanen out, I can't think of another player I'd rather have as my number one skating 29 minutes a night.
Playing alongside Alex Ovechkin, that's right. I mean, Dmitry Orlov has some offensive upside, but you want someone who can feed Ovechkin, not someone who will just slap it from the blue line. Plus, Madison Bowie has good offensive instincts, not ready for that response.
Yeah, and the other thing also is when you have one player at the top of the umbrella there, not only is it feeding Ovechkin, that's your safety valve. That's your one guy who's going to get back. Look, Madison is a dozen games or whatever into his NHL career. You don't want to put that kind of pressure on him.
Greg Christian writes, when I was in Edmonton over the weekend, I noticed that for the 83-84, there were both NHL League champions and NHL Stanley Cup champion banners hanging in the rafters. They don't have two banners hanging for any other championship years. Got any idea why there are two banners for that year? I actually know the answer to this question. I double-checked with some research, but I do know the answer to this question.
Well, he saw the questions before us. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
The President's Trophy did not exist until 85-86. So actually that the NHL League Champions refers to the fact that the Edmonton Oilers finished with the top record in the league that year. So the next time that you hear someone complain about the Caps putting up a banner for a President's Trophy, you can tell them, hey, the Oilers do it.
It's a slippery slope, though. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of other banners hanging there, too.
Yeah.
I don't know that you want to go down that road.
Austin Peters writes, hey, JJ and Tarek and Rob. He didn't actually write Rob, but he didn't know you'd be here. I'm writing this question right after the wins.
The delay was my favorite part. Hey, JJ and Tarek and Rob.
I'm writing this question right after the wins against the Islanders and the Bruins, so this could be a little dated, but what do you guys think the key is to keeping the Caps' momentum going in order to get into good position before Thanksgiving? Is it defense, goal scoring, possession? What do you guys think?
Don't play any more back-to-backs.
If they
could schedule out those back-to-backs would help.
And have everyone else continue to scuffle as well. You know, the fact that no one has run away with this thing has really helped the Capitals. I mean, look, I know fans are frustrated. Fans can, you know, they see a team that won back-to-back President's Trophies, and you got to take a step back and you got to look at the fact that this team is banged up. They've got major injuries to important players. I mean, Andre Burakovsky is a top six forward. Matt Niskanen is your most important defenseman when he's healthy. You were already integrating a bunch of new players in your lineup, and you had the league's hardest schedule in October. There are a lot of things that went against the Capitals. Not making excuses, that's just reality. And the fact they are going into this Penguins game just 3 points out of a tie for first place in the Metro, that ought to be pretty heartening to fans. I mean, considering everything that could have gone wrong here.
Yeah, Barry Trotz mentioned it in the press conference. Had they beaten Buffalo, this game Friday night would be for first place. So, you know, through all of the scuffling through October, and they came out of it with a winning record, and, were, you know, not much. But this is what's funny for all the people who complain about Ovi or complain about Carlson or complain about Orpik over the years or complain about the President's Trophies. Don't take it for granted.
Right.
You're seeing a team that's not as talented as the last couple of years. Now it's like, well, what's wrong with the Caps? Imagine what it's going to be like when Eight's no longer playing, yeah, or when a dependable defenseman like Brooks Orpik isn't around, or John Carlson, who's been dynamic putting up 30 minutes a night now.
Yeah, Brooks Orpik, sorry to hijack this. For all the people who said, how come you didn't buy him out or just send him to the minor? Where would this team be now without Brooks Orpik?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this guy has really used all of his veteran savvy. I mean, he's 37 years old. He's dialed back his physicality, but he's skating 20-plus minutes a night in important situations. I mean, I look down sometimes and I'm like, whoa, Brooks Orpik's on the ice right now. This is a part of the game where they're hanging on or they're pushing for it, for an important goal. If without him, if you had bought him out or flushed him down to Hershey, I mean, this team would have four wins right now.
And Al Koken said, maybe most importantly, every time you see Brooks Orpik walk out onto the ice at practice, Madison Bowie's on his hip.
Yep.
And that's, you know, mentoring a young guy 2 years from now when Madison Bowie, hopefully, knock on wood, is a top pair defenseman and doing the things we hope he can. You're going to give a lot of credit to his time with Brooks Orpik for showing him how to be a pro.
Tark, it would not be the Capitals Faceoff podcast without you hijacking it at least once. Caps have had their struggles over the first month and a half of the season, but the fact is they are a middle of a pack team despite all of it.
A middle of the pack league.
Yeah, despite all the injuries, despite all the struggles. So once they
They're winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, clearly. Yes, once clearly. You get Matt Niskanen and Andre Burakovsky and Brett Connolly, and let's not forget Tyler Graevac, yes, they are going straight to the Stanley Cup. There is no other.
Well, but they're middle of the pack, but they're upper middle class. I mean, I still think, you know, despite it all, they're kind of upper middle class. Because you said, Matt Niskanen comes back in that lineup for a team that's staying above 500, with Backstrom having not scored a point in seven games and Oshie having not scored a goal in eight games and all these injuries, I think they're an upper middle class, you know, organization right now. So you hope that, you know, Tampa Bay looks like the elite of the Eastern Conference right now. I mean, Stamkos and Kucherov are just unbelievable right now. But other than that, like you said, it's a middle class league right now. So just hang around and then win the cup.
If you want to have your question read and answered on the next podcast, you can send it to capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available and be sure to give us a good rating and review. Those things really do matter. Help spread the word about the show. Tarek, last time we talked, we had 17 ratings. We're up to 23 now. So the word is getting out. We still have a 5-star rating. So that's good. So if you like the podcast, keep giving us a good rating, give us good reviews, and subscribe. That really does help. And also, the Capitals Extra podcast. You can listen to it the morning after every game. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Google Play. I made my triumphant debut after the last game, so that was good. So definitely check out that one. Be sure to subscribe to that podcast because you, of course, can never have enough Capitals podcast.
And I hope the fans out there realize that when he made his debut, that was because the Caps lost. He probably caused and created that loss, so I'm not sure.
What, retroactively?
Retroactively, yes.
Okay. Anyway, that is Tarek El-Bashir for Rob Carlin. This is JJ Regan. Now let's get the puck out of here.
Peace.